मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यैश्वरम्। Once again, welcome to everyone for the Thursday evening Srimad Bhagavatam discourse. And we are discussing the topic, the story of Ajamil. Whenever we hear a Bhagavatam class, whenever we read Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita, we should have this intense anchoring in our heart and we should tell the speaker, please tell me how to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Please tell me, how can I develop that intense hankering to attain Krishna? Please tell me. We ask the speaker, he's the representation of the Vyasadeva. We ask him, please tell me. We ask Srimad Bhagavatam directly, Yo Bhagavatam, please help me. How can I attain Krishna this very lifetime? And you know what? If this is the desire, why will Krishna cheat by telling anything else? Krishna will tell. Whatever we are asking, Krishna will tell that. And Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. When Lord Krishna ascended back home, back to Godhead, to Goloka Vrindavan, to continue his pastimes with his dear devotees. So at that time, this question was asked. Now, Lord Krishna has ascended back to Goloka. Now, what will be the dasha? What will be the state of this entire universe, this entire creation? At that time, it is said that Krishna has ascended back to Goloka. But Krishna in the form of Granthavatar, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, has descended to this planet. Only and only and only to give us association and to purify us and to take us back home, back to Godhead, this very lifetime. So with this mood, let's hanker and ask Srimad Bhagavatam, please tell me how to attain Krishna this very lifetime. And let's see what Bhagavatam has to say for us. So till now, in story of Ajamil, we have seen that Ajamil at the age of 88, having a very, very young child, less than 5 years old child, and by Lord's mercy, he named his child as Narayana. And so much of sense gratification is doing. So one day the sense gratification will end. Like all the materialists, they keep doing sense gratification, so much of sense gratification, thinking that, oh, life is very long, you know, let me do whatever I want. But least they know that very soon the end is going to come. The end is near. Same thing happened with Ajamil. He was busy doing sense gratification. And one day, the three Yamadutas came to invite him. Let's come. No, please come. No, you are invited to hellish planets. And at that time, Ajamil, seeing those ferocious forms of three Yamadutas, he became very frightened. In that fear, he called out his youngest son who was nearby and he said, Narayana. And immediately, as soon as he completed, there are four Vishnu Dutas who came and they were there to protect Ajamil from the Yamadutas. And the talk began between the two parties. Vishnu Dutas are asking questions, Yamadutas are answering. Yamadutas are asking questions, Vishnu Dutas are answering. Vishnu Dutas asked that if you really are the followers of Yamaraj, then tell us the codes of religion. And in this line, the Yamadutas, they started explaining that how sinful this Ajamil is. But Vishnu Dutas were like, no, he's a Mahatma. And the Yamadutas are like, no, we will tell you how he got degraded. And then there's a story which goes back in the past. It all starts from Ajamil's childhood. Very, very wonderful child. Very wonderful son of his father. Very, very obedient. He was married to a very beautiful, chaste wife. And his father would do various rituals every single day. And Ajamil, he would go and get all the paraphernalia needed. The dry wood, leaves, flowers, fruits, whatever from the forest. And every day would go and do that. One day was the turning point in Ajamil's life. That one day. I'm sure all of us have some turning points in our life. That one day might change everything. like our Gita course participants, they were telling, not the current one, the previous Gita course. So they're telling that that one day when I registered for Gita course, my life turned. Yes, that's how it is. Always there's one day that turns our life either in the positive direction or negative direction. And here, unfortunately, Ajamil's, that one day turned him towards the negative direction. What happened? Ajamil, like a very obedient child, very obedient son, he went to the forest to collect the leaves and flowers and fruits and wood and all that. And then he was coming back very safely. He was supposed to reach home. But in between, unfortunately, what happened? Unfortunately, there was a bomb blast. Bomb blast of lust. And this lust, which blasted there, gulped the existence of Ajamil's pious nature. Now Ajamil saw a romantic scene going on there. A Shudra embracing a prostitute. And all the explicit scenes Ajamil was seeing. And in this state, Ajamil tried doing many things. He was like, no, I'm not supposed to see. Started recollecting points from Shastras. And so many things he started doing, but what to do? The mind is so strong. The senses are so strong. That's why Arjuna, such a great warrior, in 6th chapter, he's saying, Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balavadradam tasyaham nigraham manye vayur eva sudushkaram. Arjuna, such a great warrior, is saying, oh, it's very difficult to capture the mind, control the mind. It's like a raging wind. Like we cannot capture the wind, similarly, we cannot capture this mind. Very, very difficult. Now just imagine the same mind was tricking Ajamil. It was very, very difficult. What to do? Senses always crave for sense gratification. And here Ajamil, his mind is tricking him. And now whatever he saw in front of him, all that made a strong impression on the mind. I don't know if I mentioned this in the previous session. Whenever we intensely see something, anything, intensely when we see something, the impression that is made is very, very strong. Very, very strong. We will see that when we are seeing some horror movie, I mean, we have stopped seeing the movies, but I'm talking about our past. When we saw some horror movie, some movie which we really liked or whatever, we saw it very intensely. Some people who like cricket, football so much, they are like very intense. Last one ball, 4 runs are needed, and then he's just... Strong impression is made on the mind. And that strong impression pops up every now and then, especially in the dream. Yes. So these strong impressions are those pitfalls in our life where we just succumb to that. And we see that when we take darshan of the Lord, that impression is not strong. If suppose I tell all of you, I'll close your eyes and meditate or try to recollect your favorite celebrity, all of us will be able to do that. But if I say, close your eyes and meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna and going up till the navel and till the chest and the hands holding the flute and the lotus face and above the head, the peacock feather, will not be getting a proper clear view. Now, if you properly notice, it will be blur. Or sometimes we struggle with, how is the leg of Krishna? Which side is the twist? Which side is the turn? And whatever the waist, where is it bending? Where is the head bending? Hands bending? Why? Because we are not very intense. Not very intense while taking darshan of the Lord. Yes, same thing happens. For any spiritual activity, our intensity is not that great. But for any material activity, especially those activities which we really like, we do it so intensely. Have you seen when some talk is going on, some gossip is going on? Now, people are so intense. They're hearing very, very carefully. And sometimes in that gossip, people forget what they were supposed to do. Why? Absorption. So much of absorption. And that absorption leads to strong impression. So this also goes on to say that if we get absorbed in our practice of devotional service, that will make a strong impression on our mind. And when that strong impression is made, our life will be very blissful. Why? Without our notice, we'll be able to remember Guru and Krishna. Without our notice. Without any extra endeavor, they'll come in our dream. Sometimes people say, Prabhuji, Krishna came in my dream. Really? Yes. Possible if Lord wants to shower his mercy, who can stop? But many of the times, now there's a concoction that is there. Many of the times the mind tricks us and some nasty things will be shown in the dream or even in the Jagrat Avastha, in the wakeful state. So this absorption while doing any activity is very important, but who will tell Ajamil? Ajamil got absorbed in that particular situation. And in a great absorption, he saw the Shudra and the prostitute embracing each other and doing various other explicit activities. And when he saw that, strong impression was made. And once the strong impression is made, without our notice, that strong impression will keep recurring again and again and again. Many times people ask this question that I've got uncontrolled thoughts, how to stop? This is one of the reasons. It will keep coming again and again and again, whatever nonsensical activities we have done or whatever material absorption now we had and strong impressions we have because of that, it will keep coming again and again and again. Same thing happened with Ajamil. He came like a very obedient son. He got the pure leaves, pure flowers, pure fruits, pure wood. But what to do? Mind was contaminated. In that situation, he came and all the time he was meditating on what? On that scene. This is what happened. Now just imagine, nowadays, so many things keep happening around us, especially the filthy movies which are released. Even if there is no explicit scene, but still, that makes a strong impression. And people are so absorbed watching, you know, movies, TV series, daily soap, whatever, that when something happens on the screen, tears flow from the eyes sitting, you know, in front of the TV or, you know, the big screen. Why? So much of absorption. Why we don't have that same absorption while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, while reading Srimad Bhagavatam, while chanting? Even when a very, very emotional scene is going on in Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll have a blank face and we'll be seeing, when will this person finish the talk? Why that absorption is not here, you know, in Krishna consciousness? Just imagine, same absorption is there, like the absorption that we have while watching TV. Same absorption if we have while hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, every single thing that is spoken from Srimad Bhagavatam will make a strong impression on the mind. Strong impression. So this absorption is very, very important in our practice. Very, very important. And here we see, Ajamil got absorbed once for few seconds. And that absorption was so strong that he was able to meditate on whatever he was absorbed in. Meditating. What will happen? He'll get attached. More attachment, what will happen? The lusty desires will come. Intense desire will come to do the same activity. Same thing happened with Ajamil. Very difficult. No? Such a nice boy. Whenever I think about Ajamil, I remember, you know, new college students. 12th standard just, you know, passed. They got some admission, some engineering college, MBBS college, whatever, professional college. And parents, they've groomed the child like a sadhu. And actually the child is sadhu also. I don't know now what is the situation because of the internet and mobile, but I'm talking about the past. My kids were sadhu. And when they go to college, still there, no, first semester, second semester, they're sadhu. And second year, first semester onwards, everything that they saw and were absorbed in, they'll get into that activities. Same thing happened with Ajamil. There was no need of a semester. Few seconds were enough for Ajamil to get degraded. And this is what Yamadutas are describing. Now let's see the last few shlokas of this particular chapter. What all things Ajamil did? What are the abominable things that Ajamil did? That the end of life, 3 Yamadutas had to come. Let's see that now in shloka number 63 onwards. Hope it's visible for everyone. Yes, 63. In the same way that the sun and the moon are eclipsed by a low planet, the Brahmana lost all his good sense, taking advantage of the situation. He always thought of the prostitute, and within a short time, he took her as a servant in his house and abandoned all the regulative principles of a Brahmana. By speaking this verse, Shukadeva Goswami wants to impress upon the mind of the reader that Ajamil's exalted position as a Brahmana was vanquished by his association with the prostitute. So much so that he forgot all his Brahmanical activities. Nevertheless, at the end of his life, by chanting the four syllables of the name Narayan, he was saved from the gravest danger of falling down. Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bhayat. Even a little devotional service can save one from the greatest danger. Devotional service which begins with chanting of the holy name of Lord is so powerful that even if one falls down from the exalted position of a Brahmana through sexual indulgence, he can be saved from all calamities if he somehow or other chants the holy name of the Lord. This is the extraordinary power of the Lord's holy name. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it is advised that one not forget the chanting of the holy name even for a moment. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrataha. There are so many dangers in this material world that one may fall down from an exalted position at any time. Yet, if one keeps himself always pure and steady by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will be safe without a doubt. Now look at what has happened to Ajamil. Like the sun and moon are eclipsed by a lower planet, Ajamil's consciousness was completely eclipsed by abominable thoughts, that is the meditation of the prostitute. To such an extent, he couldn't bear the separation from the prostitute. And he got the prostitute home. What will happen if a prostitute comes home? A Brahmana became pure, he became contaminated. This is a very nice verse where we can understand that when we desire something intensely, how it manifests. It's very important to purify our desires. So we have so many desires. If I ask you, what is your desire? Everyone will have infinite number of desires that we'll post here in the chat box. Everyone, all of us, including me, all of us will have some desires here and there, some materialistic desires. See, one thing we have to understand is now we have become devotees. Only thing that we should desire is to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Apart from this, actually we shouldn't have any desire. Because, see, one thing is very clear. If we have Krishna in our life, automatically everything will be taken care of. But this simple logic is very difficult to understand. We feel, no. See, Krishna, okay, but what about my job? What about my kids? What about my wife and my relatives and this and that and my health and etc., etc., etc.? I have to work for it. It's very important. Obviously, we have to work. But then, the desire that should be there is, when will I attain Krishna? When will Krishna enter my life? When will that day come? When I'll attain Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead? Will that happen in this lifetime? We should, when we are attached to this particular desire and when we keep desiring for that, hankering for that, you know what will happen? Our consciousness will always remain absorbed in that particular desire. But when our consciousness gets absorbed in material desires, we forget Krishna. You can notice for yourself, whenever you're having a fight with someone, gossiping with someone, some material work which you're absorbed in, thinking about Krishna is very difficult. And immediately after such discussion, when you enter into some devotional activity like chanting, focusing on chanting is very difficult. At least that's my experience. Very difficult. Why? Because we were absorbed in that particular thought. So this point now has to be noted that we have to purify our desires. Even if we have some desire, somehow we have to curb that desire and we have to dovetail it towards Krishna. Because see, as devotees, if we also have materialistic desires, when will I progress, and get promotion and get some hike, and when will I buy a bungalow and a car, and I don't know what all other desires are there. It's all that desires, name, fame, prestige, and all that. If we have all these desires, then what will happen is most of the time will be spent in thinking about that. Now you might say, Roji, come on. If you don't think about all this, how will you work? Since, you know, I heard from people, my students, I'm telling it very boldly, that the ones who just focus on Krishna, everything else, including the home, workplace, social circles, everywhere, everything will be taken care of. One devotee was sharing that, Prabhuji, nowadays I don't think anything about promotion and hike and all that. But see, you know, how merciful Krishna is. I just keep doing devotional service and he is like supplying forcefully everything, one after another. Forcefully, I'm getting promotion. Forcefully, hike is there. I'm not expecting it. It's coming. I just gave one mundane example, one material example. And everything will manifest similarly. Everything else will manifest. The only thing is we have got this human form not to settle in material life. We have got this human form to desire something related to Krishna. Hanker to attain Krishna. Hanker to go back home, back to Godhead and personally be there with Krishna and assist him in his pastimes. Human life is got for this, not for anything else. But then what to do? So many lifetimes we have got so many desires, isn't it? And because of that, all that keeps popping every now and then. Somehow our desires should be purified. And the best process to purify our desire is chanting the holy names of the Lord. Not just a few rounds, chanting all the time. Nirantar Harinam, all the time. When we chant all the time, automatically what happens is our desires which are there, those will get purified. In fact, we'll not have time to think about anything. Now, all the time means what? While doing any activity, the mouth can keep murmuring or chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Sometimes, you know, while doing the work, if many people are around, we can chant in the mind. And if no one is there, we can chant loudly. What is the problem? See, this conscious step has to be taken in our life. Now, understanding our desires are contaminated. Look at Ajamil. His desire was so contaminated that he was forced to get her home and break all the four related principles. Not just four, no, many things he broke. We'll discuss that. So this is a very important point that somehow or the other, our desire should get purified. If desires are not getting purified, then unfortunately, we'll desire something material very intensely like Ajamil and that will get manifested. And Krishna is very merciful. Whatever we desire intensely, Krishna is like Tathastu, sanction. If our karma supports, he'll just sanction. Like a murderer, a rapist, he has got an intense desire to rape someone, murder someone, steal something. And Krishna is like, okay, no, you're not listening to me. I'm telling you not to do. You're not listening to me. Chalo, sanction. Tathastu. And the person goes and does that. So it's a very important thing. Again, I repeat, we have to purify our desires. And our desires will get purified when we keep chanting all the time, when we immerse our consciousness thinking about Krishna. Like, for example, now you all are hearing. So when some point is made which really clicks you, no, we can just note it down. And then throughout whatever time we have before sleeping and next day in the morning, early morning, we can try to recollect what were the things those were spoken. By this, what happens is our consciousness will remain absorbed in Krishna consciousness. And then with mercy of the Lord, we'll be able to chant now all the time, as many hours as possible. So in this way, we understand that Ajamil's desire was very contaminated. But one very nice thing here is that he was spoiled now and he's going to do all nonsensical activities. But still there is a hope. What is the hope? Right from childhood, he has done very wonderful devotional service. He was assisting his father in various ways. And Krishna is so merciful that we might forget what we have done for Krishna. Krishna will never forget. We are staying in a world where we do so much for people and people forget. Sometimes, you know, people ask, what have you done for me? That really breaks the heart of people, especially when kids ask this question to the old parents. What have you done for me? Parents are shattered. Mother is like, I held you in my womb for 9 months. You ask me what I've done for you? But in fact, this question is so difficult to answer that there will be no words that will come from the mouth of the person who is asked this question. What have you done for me? But Krishna is so merciful, he remembers everything. Every Maha Mantra that we have chanted, Krishna will remember. We might forget the count. But till date, how many rounds I have chanted, how many times Maha Mantra I have chanted. Krishna remembers. We might forget how many tulsi leaves we have offered to Krishna at his lotus feet. We might forget, Krishna will remember the count. How many flowers we have offered, Krishna remembers. How many times we have cooked bhoga with love and devotion, Krishna remembers. How many times we have attended these discourses, sacrificing all our material activities and just sitting in front of the screen and hearing the Bhagavatam speaker, Krishna remembers. Krishna remembers what all services we have done to please him. He remembers everything, every small thing he remembers. And the best thing about Krishna is he reciprocates. He doesn't like to be a debtor. He doesn't like to take any debt. So what he does? He immediately reciprocates. Now, if not immediately, with time, he'll reciprocate. And when he reciprocates, it's huge. For one tulsi leaf, it is given in Padma Puran, in Kartik Mas, when one offers a tulsi leaf at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna with love and devotion, Lord Krishna is ready to give his entire Vaikuntha in exchange of that one tulsi leaf. Anyways, Kartik Mas is coming, October 20th it is starting. So before that, now some session we'll discuss on the Kartik Vrata, what all things we can do. In Kartik, we offer ghee lamps. So one lamp that is offered with love and devotion, Krishna remembers and he reciprocates. This is the best thing about the Lord. No mortal being can remember. And we cannot expect also, come on. We cannot expect that, oh, he'll remember everything that I gave him, all the help that I gave him. But Krishna remembers everything and he reciprocates very nicely. So it's just taking a tangent. So it's very important when small kids practice devotional service, even if they go astray after some time, due to whatever association or whatever, Krishna will pull them back on the path. Many times this has happened with many, many kids. But they, right from childhood, they have been having prasadam. They have been seeing their parents chanting. They themselves have chanted. They have come to the temple. They have offered so many things to Lord Krishna. All these things. And then with time, somehow they go astray. But by Krishna's mercy, again, they come back. Again, they come back. Because Krishna will never cheat. Krishna is not that person who takes everything and then is like, no, tata bye bye. Krishna is like, oh, you have given me this much, I have to give you something back. He always keeps seeing, you know, how can I give this person back? How can I give this person back? So in this way, when we practice devotional service, any activity that we are doing, Krishna remembers. Now just imagine, if he's remembering, it means he's observing. He's seeing, it means. So it also means that he's observing that how we are doing devotional service. So I'm not talking about devotees who are dicey. I know the audience who are attending my sessions. You all are intense. So when it comes to us, what are we supposed to do? We have to focus. The devotional service that I'm doing, is it quality or not? Krishna is seeing. Krishna is observing. Am I doing quality devotional service or not? When I'm chanting, is it quality? When I'm hearing now Bhagavatam class, is it quality? Am I hearing attentively whatever is spoken? When I'm cooking bhoga for Krishna, am I cooking quality bhoga? No, with nice mood of cooking for Krishna. When I'm associating with devotees, am I spending time in a very quality way? So we all have come to a stage where we have to focus on quality. Am I doing it properly or not? And you know what? When we do a very nice quality sadhana, quality devotional service for pleasing Guru and Krishna, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, there will be so much of reciprocation. Because we are doing it for their pleasure. And they are so obliged. They feel so indebted that they start reciprocating in various ways. And they start giving us experiences which are on the transcendental platform. So now a time has come in our life, a phase has come in our life, all of us, you know, that now we have to focus on the quality of whatever we are doing, whatever. Even small things like, you know, honoring prasadam, even that has to become quality with time. With time, we start understanding, oh, this is remnants of Krishna. And then, now we accept. We accept prasadam. Not that, oh, I like this dish very much, that dish very much. Okay, let me take this, let me take that. Okay, no harm in doing that. But with time, we have to come to a stage where everything that is there in my plate is remnants of Krishna. And let me take and honor the prasadam. It's just a small thing. So quality is very, very important now for all of us. For the ones who are dicey devotees, who are just sometimes there in bhakti, sometimes not doing bhakti, for them, theek hai, thoda bahut mala kar liya, little bit of devotional service here and there, some classes here and there, okay, Krishna will reciprocate. But we are not interested that, okay, I'll deviate and then Krishna will pull me back. We are not interested to deviate. If that is the case, if you're not interested to deviate from the path of bhakti, then it has to be really quality. Quality devotional service. Then when we do quality devotional service, we will see that with time we'll relish, we'll start getting some taste. And when we get that taste, then where is the question of going somewhere else? We'll be there on the same path and we'll keep marching on the same path with full intensity. But nevertheless, if something happens in our life and somehow we slip, say somehow we slip, still, whatever service we have done, Krishna will remember and pull us back. So now when our consciousness is favorable, now all of us are favorably listening. Yes, all of us have that favorable mood now. So when our mood is favorable, we have to offer this prayer to Krishna. And oh Krishna, please help me to remain always on this wonderful path of devotional service. And please help me to attain you this very lifetime. Intensely we have to pray. And we have to be fearful that, oh, this Maya Shakti is so powerful, she can pull me out of devotional service at any time. Let me not take it for granted. Now, when we are holding the beads, just in the evening when we were having dinner, Harikshadrupu was sharing a very nice point. He said that initially when we are new in devotional service, like Gita course students and mantra meditation students and all that, initial days, now no one is new here, everyone is old. So in the new days, so what happens? We are in a great need of something. And then when we are chanting, there is so much of focus and attention and so much of prayer and everything is there. And then with time, what happens? We start losing respect for the holy name. We start losing respect for devotees. We start losing respect for Srimad Bhagavatam. And as soon as the respect goes down, our bhakti also goes down. And when our bhakti goes down, whatever taste we had got in devotional service, that goes down completely. If not completely, at least it goes down to some extent. And when the taste is lost, then our practice will automatically reduce. So this point has to be remembered. If I do quality bhakti, I'll get some taste. And when I get taste, then yes, it will be taken care. But even if I deviate by any chance, if I slip, Krishna will pull me back. This confidence all of us should have. And bhakti is such a glorious path. Oh, such a powerful path. That anyone who accepts this path becomes very, very strong. Very strong within. And he's ready to face anything and everything. And he's ready to march on the path of bhakti to attain Krishna, come what may. Very, very powerful. Bhakti is so powerful that it just purifies everyone. Everyone, whoever comes in touch with this process of devotional service, it just purifies. Internally, externally, everything is purified. I'm sure you all might have already been experiencing this. Now you all are seniors. You know very well. When we take up the devotional service, how internal cleansing happens, how external cleansing happens, how our thought process changes, how our desires changes. All of us, I'm sure, you all might have experienced. That is the power of bhakti. And Krishna is so merciful. He's so honest. He's very clear. If you offer with love and devotion, I accept. And when I accept, obviously, I give back. And when he gives back, he gives a lot. And even if the devotee deviates due to some reason, Krishna will pull that devotee somehow or the other, even if the devotee likes or does not like. My favorite pastime is Putana Uddhar. So in that, when Putana came herself and she picked up Krishna and she started feeding her breast milk. Now Putana herself, she held Krishna. Close to her heart. And now, after some time, when Krishna started sucking the life air of Putana, she started feeling a lot of pain. And at that time, she was like, chod re, chod, chod. And he's like, muncha, muncha. Leave me, leave me. And at that time, Krishna is like, nahi, ek baar hum jab pakadte hai, to chodte nahi kisi ko. So any devotee till date who has tried his best to go out of devotional service, something or the other happens and the person is pulled back. A simple example which I heard from devotees. Now some of them who just a little bit of deviation happened. So they're at Panipuri stall. Now Now, we don't take all that, right? I mean, at home when we offer and eat, that's different. Pani puri stall, some other person not falling for relative principles, cooking and, you know, we eating. You know, it's abominable. So suppose, you know, we go and then, you know, we're eating. And then some other devotee is crossing by. Prabhuji, what happened? Only prasadam forgot. No, Krishna reminds. In so many ways, Krishna will remind. And at that time, the life will become so miserable that we have to come back to devotional service. At that time, no one can save us. Life will be so miserable. Krishna will make our life miserable that we have to come back to devotional service. So in this way, various ways Krishna tries to pull back his devotees, because Krishna feels indebted to anyone and everyone who does even a little devotional service. And so he says in 2nd chapter, 40th shloka, Neha vikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayato mahato bhaya. Anyone who does even little devotional service, that devotional service is never lost or never reduced or never diminished. So this is the glory of devotional service. So now when we are practicing, after hearing the glory of devotional service, why not take it with full force? Why still we are waiting? Little, 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 little. Sometimes when I talk to devotees and they say that, Prabhuji, I'm after 1 year, Prabhuji, I'm still chanting 8 rounds. No, like, they'll not say like that. They'll say that, Prabhuji, I'm chanting 8 rounds. Are Baba, 1 year, still 8 rounds. What are you doing? What's the problem? Come to 16 rounds. And then sometimes, you know, even after a few years, devotees are like, Prabhuji, having prasadam is very difficult at home. Mother, father, relatives, what to do with all of them? Are go hell with all of them. They are going to go to hell. So what are we supposed to do? We are supposed to follow what is told by our Acharya. Every single grain that we're putting in our mouth should be prasadam. So when we keep hearing all this, why it takes so much of time to implement? Why? When we understand that Krishna is reciprocating in such a glorious way, why can't we take up things seriously and follow the principles very strictly? What is the problem? And if we don't follow the principles strictly, what will happen? With time, our taste in devotional service will reduce. We'll not experience Krishna. We'll not get that higher taste. And then, you know, we'll say, Are bhakti doesn't work. Are bhakti doesn't work. Kya? Your mind doesn't work. To understand that this is how it is, this is how it should be followed. It's a very important point that now when we have taken devotional service, we should just do it with full force, following all the principles very, very strictly. And suppose even if we have to take time, that time shouldn't be too long. Maybe few days, that's it. Not even few weeks. Few days and immediately we should implement whatever we have heard. And you know what? It will be difficult. It will be difficult and it will be a struggle. And when that struggle happens, when the tug of war is going on, and when we are literally struggling hard, in tug of war, two ends are there, right? So one from one side, one group will pull, from other side, other group will pull. You know what will happen? When we're literally struggling from the other side, there are so many people who are pulling. Our desires, people and everything, all the conditions of our life, they're pulling on the other side. And we are alone pulling and struggling and struggling, and we are actually going towards them. They're going to win. At that time, the blue hand comes and holds the rope and... Yes. So that blue hand will come. That bluish blackish hand will come. Lord Krishna will come and just pull. And then we'll be like, oh, I did it. And Krishna will be laughing. Ah, you did it. So in this way, what Krishna observes in us, in our practice, is how much the devotee is struggling. How much the devotee is struggling to attain me. If you are literally struggling for Krishna, no, there's so much of struggle in the family and office and this and that. Still, we are struggling to follow whatever is given in the Shastra. Krishna is pleased. And you know what? A sadhaka is called as the struggler. If we are not struggling, it means we are not doing sadhana. This is the point. And here we see that Ajamil, he did all the nonsense. But then Krishna remembered all the devotional service that he did in his childhood. And he reciprocated at the end of life. But what are the sinful activities that Ajamil did? Next verse is talking about that. Oh, someone is saying sound low. No, this is the maximum sound that is there.
It's proper, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, next, we'll go to the next shloka. Thus, Ajamil began spending whatever money he had inherited from his father to satisfy the prostitute with various material presentations so that she would remain pleased with him. He gave up all his Brahminical activities to satisfy the prostitute. There are many instances throughout the world in which even a purified person being attracted by a prostitute spends all the money he has inherited. Prostitute hunting is so abominable that the desire for sex with a prostitute can ruin one's character, destroy one's exalted position, and plunder all one's money. Therefore, illicit sex is strictly prohibited. One should be satisfied with his married wife, for even a slight deviation will create havoc. A Krishna-conscious grihastha should always remember this. He should always be satisfied with one wife and be peaceful simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Otherwise, any moment he may fall down from his good position, as exemplified in the case of Ajamil. So, I'm a monk and I'm expected to speak something on this. Back in 2016, when I was serving as an e-counselor in ISKCON Desire Tree, so I used to get a lot of mails. One mail I distinctly remember. A devotee had mailed. I don't know how intense the devotee was, but he had mailed me this. That, Prabhuji, I'm getting attracted to the maid servant who is coming to my house. Now, I'm somehow convincing my wife to remove her, but then I cannot tell her the fact. And she is saying, no, the maid servant is very nice. And I also feel she's very nice. That is the problem. So, what should I do? Then I was thinking that it's not that once our desire is satisfied, we'll be satisfied. No. Anything can happen at any time. So, in Shastra, it is said, for a brahmachari, he shouldn't sit on the same level with his mother and sister also. We never know when the mind will trick. Never know. So, that is the reason I always tell all my Bhakti Vriksha leaders, whenever I take some sessions for them, that whenever you're talking to the opposite gender, that is your Bhakti Vriksha members, and same thing applies with the Bhakti Vriksha members also, that when you're talking to your Bhakti Vriksha leaders, suppose you're talking to the opposite gender, you have to be very, very careful. We shouldn't interact if we don't have our partner much. Suppose I'm a female and I'm talking to the male leader who is there, I should be very careful. Only if his wife is there with him, we should speak. Same thing. If I'm a male and I'm talking to a Mataji, I should be very, very careful. Right? Only if her husband is there besides, we have to continue the talk, or better to stop the talk. Yes. Why? Now you might say, Prabhuji, I will never do all this. Ajamil also thought the same. He also thought the same. I'll never do all this. He was trained in a Brahminical culture. What training have we received? The only training that we have received is from the movies that we have watched. And extramarital affair in movies is like just common, very common, isn't it? And that's what impressions we have. So it's a very important point that we note that somehow or the other, at least on the grass platform, we should save ourselves. Save ourselves and keep safe distance, because we have come to devotional service. Actually, I'm speaking all this, but then for us also, it's difficult. But still we try our best, whatever it is. By the mercy of Guru Gauranga, things will manifest. So my Shiksha Guru, he always keeps telling that keep your Jagrat Avastha very proper. Keep your wakeful state always proper. In the wakeful state, don't get contamination from here and there. If in the wakeful state, if the consciousness gets contaminated, then in the swapna avastha, in the dream state, the consciousness, contaminated consciousness will reflect in the form of a dream. And many times, even in wakeful state, that whatever impressions we had, that will keep popping. And it will be very difficult to overcome no such contamination. So what is the solution? Now, it's not that we can close our eyes and roam around. We cannot do that. This Kali Yuga is all filthy. Everywhere it's contamination. Everywhere. So what are we supposed to do then? We have to shield ourselves. Shield ourselves by intense devotional service, intense devotional practice. Somehow or the other, we have to save ourselves. And somehow or the other, in any situation and circumstance, we have to remember Krishna. If we are not able to remember Krishna, surely Maya will capture us. Surely. So somehow or the other, yena kena prakarena, this is what is the statement of our Shastra, yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayat, somehow or the other fix your mind on Krishna. This is what the Shastra is saying. Because we never know which what will work at that particular instance, you know, when our consciousness is getting contaminated. And we have to try our best, you know, to protect ourselves, you know, from all the nonsensical things which come on internet and, you know, on the television and whatnot. In fact, I strongly recommend, you know, all the devotees, you know, close the television box and throw it somewhere. Obviously, if you are, you know, watching our sessions on television, you can retain. But then if something else is watched, be it some animated movie or be it some comedy thing or be it some action or romance, there's no question. Anything that we are watching, that all will create havoc. Because everything is enacted by those people who are lusty. And when they speak, that lusty words will enter and their thoughts will be coming in our mind. So you see, you pick up any materialist and just analyze how lusty the person is. You'll get to know. So intense devotional service is the only solution. There's no other solution. Maya Shakti is so strong. She's extremely strong, extremely strong. We cannot imagine also. If someday we think that, no, I'm a sense-controlled person, that day itself, Maya Shakti will beat us nicely. she'll throw some, you know, peanuts and we like monkeys will go and just, you know, take that. Maya Shakti is extremely strong. Krishna is saying this. Krishna is saying in 7th chapter, Daivi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya. He says, hey, Arjuna, it's very difficult to overcome my Maya. Very difficult. Suppose we have question, oh, Krishna, what am I supposed to do then? Mam evai prapadyante. Surrender onto me. Get absorbed in my thoughts. Maya metam taradhyate. I will save you. So this is a very important point. This is the only way to save ourselves. There is no other way. Sometimes parents ask, Proji, what should I do if my kid is going on a wrong path? You cannot do anything. You cannot do it. What will you do? You'll catch him and throw him out of the house, or catch his phone and throw him out of the house. But nowadays classes are online, right? What can we do? The only thing that we can do is the entire house should be surcharged with devotional service. Only prasadam should be had by anyone and everyone who's there in the house. Not even a single grain which is not offered should go into the mouth of any family member. If this we can ensure, and if we can have some kirtan together, some japa session together, all the family members together, if we all can attend the session together, if possible, and go for festivals together, or some things like this, if we can do, then we can think that my child will be saved to some extent. Or else of Kali Yuga, who is saved? Maya Shakti is so strong. Her agents are all around. Everywhere her agents are there. Maybe in Ajamil's time, mobile phone and internet was not there. So, little bit of thing that he saw, he just went. But now, I can just imagine what's happening. So in this way, only if our house is surcharged with devotional service, the parents have to first practice very, very intensely. Very intensely. Every day, 16 rounds of chanting, mandatory, compulsory. Doesn't matter, no, time hai, nahi hai. We have to take out time. And every single day, only prasadam. You know cooking without onion and garlic or does not know. We have to learn and we have to offer it to Krishna. And only that we need to have. And you'll see the miracle. Prabhupada mentions four things in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12. No, chapter 13. 8 to 12 shlokas. 13. Chapter 13, shlokas 8 to 12. In that, in one of the plays, Prabhupada is mentioning four things for a blissful family life. And in that he says that everyone should chant the Maha Mantra. Everyone should come together and chant. Second, everyone should have prasadam only. Third, everyone should be attending, everyone should be doing some deity worship. And fourth is we have to come together and discuss Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita. Anyone who does these four things in the family, I mean, when the family members do these things together, Prabhupada writes, that family will be happy. This is what Prabhupada is saying. Very strong, very strong point. 13th chapter, shloka number 8 to 12. You can read it yourself. I think some second paragraph or third paragraph in that purport, you'll find this thing, what Prabhupada is talking about. Right? And then when the house is surcharged, then it's okay. By mistakenly we see something or something happens, will not get affected. Will not get affected at all. Right? But Ajamil, unfortunately, look at Ajamil's situation. All that he inherited from his father, not just wealth, even the Brahminical qualities, everything is spent on that prostitute. Everything. Entire consciousness is spoilt. Money is gone. Time, energy, everything is gone. No moral values, no spiritual values. All are just ruined in no time. Just one scene and the person is gone. Why this pastime of Ajamil is so important in Srimad Bhagavatam? It's a reminder for all of us in the age of Kali. Are that one scene ruined his life. You people are there in this material world. No, Bhagavatam is telling all of us. You people are there in this material world in the age of Kali. In 21st century, where all these things are prominent everywhere, how will you save yourself? Take shelter of me. Take shelter of me, Bhagavatam is saying. Take shelter of me, the holy name is saying. Now you spent everything on prostitute. What happened after that? Next verse. Because his intelligence was pierced by the lustful glance of the prostitute, the victimized Brahmana Ajamil engaged in sinful acts in her association. He even gave up the company of his very beautiful young wife who came from a very respectable Brahmana family. Customarily, everyone is eligible to inherit his father's property, and Ajamil also inherited the money of his father. But what did he do with the money? Instead of engaging the money in service of Krishna, he engaged it in the service of a prostitute. Therefore, he was condemned and was punished by Yamaraj. How did this happen? He was victimized by the dangerous, lustful glance of a prostitute. So here, we see the importance of the money that we earn. Everything that we have in our life belongs to Krishna. Everything. And when we don't utilize it for the service of Krishna, please remember, we will get sin for that. Now you might be thinking, Prabhuji, it was good that I shouldn't have attended your classes only. At least I would have been in ignorance. I would have enjoyed my life. You are just ruining my life, Prabhuji. No, I'm just repeating whatever I've heard from my superiors, from my spiritual masters, what we have read. Whatever we have in our life, everything is for service of Krishna, including this body. I was hearing from my spiritual master that these ears are meant only to hear about Krishna. When we start hearing something nonsense from these ears, which are supposed to be engaged in service of Krishna, we get sins for the same. How's that? This is what I heard, and then I got goosebumps after hearing this. Oh, is it so? And same thing applies to the eyes, nose, tongue, and hands, and legs, and or even our genitals and anus and everything. All the 10 senses that we have. So it's a very important thing that we serious devotees, we have to sincerely try. We have to sincerely try to engage all our senses in service of Krishna. And this money that is there is called as bahya pran. Bahya pran means a life which is just outside in our pocket. So there's something called antapran and something called as bahya pran. Antapran is our life. The life symptoms which are there. And bahya pran is some life symptom which is there in the pocket. Now both are very, very important and no one wants to give it up. No one wants to die and no one wants to give up the money also. It's very important to note that every single person on this planet who is earning money has to be given in service of Krishna. If you're just storing it, then it's very difficult. Now I was telling this to one of my relatives. Before I became a monk, I was telling this. That, whatever we earn, some part of it should be given in service of Krishna. According to Shastra, 50% should be given in service of Krishna. So if not, at least start from something. 10%, 20%, start from something. So he was like, if Krishna gives me more, then I can give back. No, Krishna is not giving me much. Little bit only I have. So how can I give from that? It doesn't matter. If our salary is 1,000, even 10 rupees if we give, 100 rupees we give, that's what is very, very important. That's what will count. So giving out the hard-earned money in service of Krishna is very, very important. Very important. No, we shouldn't escape from this service. We shouldn't escape from doing this charity. No. If we escape from doing this charity, the same money which we'll have, will kill us in future in various ways. Because that money which is not given in charity is contaminated. It is said, to purify the mind, we should chant. To purify our existence, we should have prasadam. To purify the money that we have, a part of it should be given in donation. And that's how, you know, various things are there. So in this way, you know, here we see Ajamil. He was using, now someone might say, Prabhuji, it was his money. Let him do whatever he wants. No, people say like that. One of the college session I was giving. So some illicit sex concept came. Then explaining that, you know, premarital affair is a problem. We shouldn't get into all this. So one college student was telling, Prabhuji, that girl doesn't have a problem. That boy doesn't have a problem. Why do we have a problem? It is not the problem with people. You know, they might be okay doing sense gratification and illicit sinful activities, but it's a problem with the substance that we have, be it this body or be it anything. It has to be used in service of Krishna in the right way. So, you know, someone might say, no, it was his money. He can spend the way he wants. My way, my life, I'll do whatever I want. But the important thing is, that is not the case. We are in material world. We are under three modes of material nature. Fully controlled. Fully controlled. And in this controlled situation, we cannot say, my life, I'll do whatever I want. We have to follow what is given in Shastra. Because if we follow what is given in Shastra, we'll actually get unbound from all the bondage that is there. We'll break the cycle of birth and death. But if we do whatever we want, very difficult. And here Ajamil, for misusing the money, he will have tough time. He's going to suffer like anything. Yes, and that's what we're seeing. No, how the Yamadutas came and he was suffering like anything in front of them. So every time when we spend some money, and if it is for complete sense gratification, we should always remember that no, it is not correct. It is not correct. Especially for sinful activities, meat eating, then illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. Anywhere in these four activities when the money is spent, the person is going to suffer like anything. We never know for how many kalpas in the hellish planets. We never know. We cannot find also. So in this way, Ajamil, doing such abominable activity, spending the inherited money on the prostitute for his own sense gratification, just to have some sensual pleasure, he's doing all this and he's going to have tough time for sure. For sure he's going to have tough time. So in this way, we see that how degraded this personality Ajamil was. I think the time is already up. Let me see how many more verses are there. Okay, we'll just finish this chapter. Because his intelligence was pierced, okay. Although born in a Brahmana family, this rascal, bereft of intelligence because of the prostitute's association, earned money somehow or other, regardless of whether properly or improperly, and used it to maintain the prostitute's sons and daughters. Now see here, this word is very important. Prostitute, sons and daughters, because it's not known who is the father. Yes, she has engaged with so many people. So there's no question of who is the father. But Ajamil, such a filthy fellow, he is doing anything and everything just to maintain the prostitute's sons and daughters. This Brahmana irresponsibly spent his long lifetime transgressing all rules and regulations of the holy scriptures, having extravagantly and eating food prepared by a prostitute. Therefore, he is full of sins, he's unclean, and he's addicted to forbidden activities. Food prepared by an unclean, sinful man or woman, especially a prostitute, is extremely infectious. Ajamil ate such food and therefore he was subject to be punished by Yamaraj. I would like to speak something on this, very important. So from whom are we eating and what is the level of that person when it comes to spirituality is very important. Yes. If the person is not a fixed up person, this is for us, only for devotees. Please don't go and share with your relatives. This is how you should be. Eat only from 16 rounders and all of that. So it's very important to always have this conscious effort that we eat from the hands of those people who are living a pure devotional Krishna conscious life. This maid servant business and all who are cooking, that's very, very dangerous, very dangerous. When our consciousness will get affected, we never know. What will happen at what time, we never know. And here, it is like the most degraded thing. He's eating from whose hands? From a prostitute's hands. Oh. So especially when you go to restaurants and all those places, we have to be very careful. We cannot go and check the Kula Gotra of people, right? Once this happened with, I think my spiritual master only, he was traveling in the flight. He was going to some foreign country to give class. And with him, there was some servant. And then the air hostess came and she was offering some foodstuffs. And the servant was about to take that. And the spiritual master is like, "Hey, we don't know her Kula Gotra. Don't touch. Don't touch." So the point is, it's very important to know what are we eating. SNE, sometimes, it's there. Some anniversary, some festivals and this and that. And people are like, "Let's go to a restaurant and celebrate." Oh, it's not a celebration. It's just some accumulation of sin. Because who is cooking in what consciousness, with what mood, it's all this matters a lot. A lot. So fortunately, nowadays, devotees are opening up some restaurants and they are starting some kitchen, online kitchen and all that. Fortunately, that is all there. But still, even if that's not there, we should try our best to cook at home and eat. Now, someone might say, "Prabhuji, it's austerity, huh? Human life is meant for what? Tapasya, austerity, what else?" So this land is called as Tapo Bhumi. India is called as Tapo Bhumi. More than sense gratification, what is appreciated is austerity. Last few shlokas. This man, Ajamil, did not undergo atonement. Therefore, because of his sinful life, we must take him into the presence of Yamaraj for punishment. There, according to the extent of his sinful acts, he will be punished and purified. The Vishnu Dutas had forbidden the Yamadutas to take Ajamil to Yamaraj. Oh, by the way, if you have any questions, please post in the chat box. And therefore, the Yamadutas explained that taking such a man to Yamaraj was appropriate. Since Ajamil had not undergone atonement for his sinful acts, he was to be taken to Yamaraj to be purified. When a man commits murder, he becomes sinful and therefore he must be killed. Otherwise, after death, he must suffer many sinful reactions. Similarly, punishment by Yamaraj is a process of purification and for the most abominable sinful persons. Therefore, Yamadutas requested the Vishnudutas not to obstruct their taking Ajamil to Yamaraj. So, now we might have this question that, "Prabhuji, what about the sins that we have done in the past?" No problem. There is no separate atonement that is needed for devotees. For us as devotees, one thing is clear. Whatever devotional service we are practicing, that is enough. When we are doing devotional service, automatically all that will be burned to ashes. All those sins will be burned to ashes. So there's no need of extra yajna, puja, part or whatever. Our devotional service, chanting, reading, hearing, deity worship, honoring prasadam, fasting on Ekadashi, all these are very, very powerful. This entire package that Bhakti Yoga gives is very, very powerful. And just by doing that, whatever we might have done in the past, it's okay. But a caution, we shouldn't repeat that sin again. We shouldn't repeat that mistake again. And especially thinking that I'm chanting, so I'll do this sin. Chanting will take care. This is the biggest sin. This is called as Namna Baladhi Papa Buddhihi. Committing sinful acts on the strength of the holy name. It is the seventh offense to the holy name. So once we do this, no, we will degrade in our devotional life. We'll degrade in our material life also. So in this way, we have to be very careful that whatever sins we have done is okay. But now let me not repeat. Now let me just march towards attaining Krishna this very lifetime. So with this, I would like to pause here. Now I'll take some questions. See, Thursday classes evening will be heavy. So please don't mind. If it's difficult for you, then I would not say that don't attend. Please attend, but then try to be serious. Try your best to implement, because finally human life is very short. We have to gear up as fast as possible and keep marching. So I try my best in each Thursday session that I give as heavy dose as possible, so that at least in 1 week we'll be able to digest. Again, next Thursday we'll have another session. Okay. "Yes, Prabhuji, true. Even I got good salary hike, though I did not have any hopes at all. It's all your teachings." No, it's Prabhupada's teachings. Prabhupada has taught us all this. "Hope you don't share this in public by my name, as this job is not permanent." Anyways, I'll not do all that. "If Ajamil did sinful activities, he took the holy name and attained lotus feet. If a person does sinful activities but also practices devotional service, devotion, are his sins pardoned? See what happened in Ajamil's case. He did devotional service and some phase of her life was full of sins. In that, he was not doing devotional service. And at the end of life, whatever intense devotional service he had practiced, that got no mention. That was helping him. But one thing is very clear, that we cannot become Ajamil. Thinking, see, Prabhuji, I attended Gita course, the Thursday sessions. I'm chanting one round every day. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I think enough, no? I had gone to back to my college for convocation a couple of years back. And I met one devotee who used to come to my room. You know, I used to give discourses in my room. Aarti would happen in my room and all that. Small room, but 10-15 people would be there. It was fun. It was nice. So after I left, somehow the entire preaching got dissolved. So I met that one devotee who was very sincerely coming to my sessions. And then he was somehow is running away, but somehow I caught him. And then we sat on the bench in the nearby park. And then I started asking, what's happening? Hope you're doing devotional service and all that. So that Prabhuji, for 6 months I did devotional service. Now I'm thinking I should take a break. That was such a, what to say, I was just taken aback when I heard that. Such nonsensical things are also there in the minds of devotees. Oh, I've done enough. You know, when we can say I've done enough? When we attain Krishna. When we have Sakshat Darshan of Krishna face to face, and when Krishna says that you are this in the spiritual world, and when he takes us back home, then there we can say, I think I've done enough. But till then, no. Till then, no. So when it comes to this Ajamil's thing, we have to understand very clearly that we can never say that I've done enough. Now let me do some sense gratification, and at the end, my devotional service will help me. Devotional service will help, but our goal is not to get another birth, a nice birth or something like that. Our goal is to go back home, back to Gauri, to Krishna. So if we do devotional service like Ajamil and then commit sins, what will happen? We'll get contaminated. How will we get purified again? Again, like for example, for 10 years, for 5 years, we practice devotional service. For 20 years, we do nonsensical activity. And last few years remain. What are we expected? What are we expecting? What will happen? It will be very difficult. One lifetime is very short, very, very short time to break the cycle of birth and death. Please understand. So there is no question of thinking that little bit of devotional service and then sins. Or simultaneous, though, there is no question. If we are doing it simultaneous, then we'll degrade ourselves. In no time, we'll degrade ourselves. I'm actually focusing on this topic, that devotional service we have done and we have slipped and we're doing sinful activities. So this point I'm trying to make. So we have no option like that. Always we have to remind ourselves, life is very short. I can die anytime. Where is the question of slipping? Immediately I have to hold my superior's hands and come up and practice devotional service. So this mode should be there when we're practicing devotional service. So there's no question of committing sin and practicing devotional service. And suppose if someone says, what about Ajamil? It was a special case. Please remember, it's a special case. And please don't imitate Ajamil. Oh, I'll also name my youngest son as Narayana. I'll see what will happen. Nothing will happen. If we are cheater, we should remember our Lord is the greatest cheater. Greatest cheater. Is that his past karma? Ajamil got attracted to prostitute. Getting into sense gratification is our past life impression. Watching knowledge channel like History Epic also not okay. Prabhuji, if we stop watching all this, will we be not updated with, we will be outdated and not knowing what's happening around. Can we pray like, I want to become so financially stable that God uses my pocket to bless others? Oh, very nicely you put all questions in one message. Okay, getting into sense gratification is our past life impression. See, our senses which are there, they are given for doing sense gratification. Naturally, it's very natural, very natural. So all the senses that we have, eyes, nose, ears, hands, legs, our genitals and anus and everything that we have, it's all for sense gratification. See, we desired for sense gratification. Krishna has put us in this world, which is full of sense objects, and he has given us senses. So sense gratification is a natural tendency. So when it comes to illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication is very natural in the age of Kali Yuga. There is one shloka in Bhagavatam which I'm not recollecting, but this is what it says. It's very natural. So when it comes to Ajamil, same thing. His senses got attracted to sense object. His eyes got attracted to the sight, the vision that he got. And that's how he got degraded. So past life impressions, obviously it will affect. But even if it's not there, past life impressions, even if it's not there, still the person, when he senses common sense, touch of sense object, still it will degrade the person. Right? So in Ajamil's case, even if he ignored the past life, but what he saw, that actually pulled him very badly. And watching channel, see, it's not that, you know, we have to sit and watch for 2-3 hours and then we'll understand. Yes. Some headlines here and there are enough to understand about this world. And what new thing is going to happen in this world? Same murder, same rape, same pandemic, same this and same that. Names will change. That's it. Names will change. Number of people died will change. And number of people saved will change. Names of the murderers will change. Rapist will change. Yes. But the act is going to remain same. Because these material sinful activities are remaining the same. To such an extent, Garuda Puran lists all the sinful activities. Now, we can say very clearly, even our fifth canto Srimad Bhagavatam, which talks about hellish planets, it lists all the sinful activities. There is no sinful activity apart from that. So it means that, you know, these sinful activities, you know, which are there, are going to remain the same. Only names will change. But still, you know, if you're preparing for some exam or, you know, if you are HR or whatever we are, you know, who needs the updates of the world, then a little bit of some headlines here and there, I think that's enough. Instead of sitting in front of TV and then having popcorn, oh, very nice. All this is not needed. Hope that this is clear. And I want to become so financially stable. No, I just want to become servant of you, O Krishna. I want you, O Krishna. That's it. If Krishna comes, Lakshmi will come. Be intelligent. No. Why pray for small things? Pray for Krishna. Krishna, I want you. Krishna is like, who is asking this question? Vinut Mataji, I'll give you lots of money. And you're like, no, Krishna, I want you. Bas, I want you. Not many lifetimes you have tricked me by giving so many material things. Now I don't want anything. I just want you. And when we win Krishna, what is there in this world that we'll not get? What is there? Everything will come and the devotee will be like, I don't want. Krishna is like, no, you take. You're my devotee. That's how it is. Look at Srila Prabhupada. He went with 40 rupees, you know, to outside world. I mean, the foreign country. And then he established $1 million organization. So Prabhupada says that the test that Krishna put in my life was, he was testing me when I didn't have anything. And he also tested me by giving everything. But I remained stable in both the situations. This is how devotees are. So our prayer is only one. Krishna will give a list. Now when you're becoming devotees, Krishna will be eager to fulfill our desires. So he'll give a list. You want this? You want this? You want this? What do you want? Krishna, I want you. This is what we have to pray to Krishna. Krishna, I want you. I want you. I want you. I don't want anything else in my life. You have already given me everything. Devotional service, this great treasure you have given me. What else is there? What else is there in my life now? I just want you. Only you are missing in my life. Everything else is there. If this is the prayer, tell me why Krishna will not come. Tell me why the devotee will not attain Krishna. But small finance and health and relationship and all that, anyways, because of karma, it's gone. Something good will happen, something bad will happen. That karma is anyways going to decide. So why explicitly pray for something, you know, some alteration here and there? Let's pray for, you know, a jackpot. Let's pray for Krishna and nothing else. It is scary how Ajamil, being a devotee and a learned person, still fall down to such an extent. Then how people like me who are illiterate in Vedic literatures can sustain ill effects of Maya Shakti. Yes, no, that's very true. Oh, there's a fact. With this, that's what Prabhupada would always say, that my disciples are not very much afraid of Maya. Oh, this is what Prabhupada would say. We have to be afraid of Maya. And in that fear, we should take shelter of Krishna all the time. We have to understand, I'm in a jagat full of Maya. Today morning, when one of my youth counselors had come and he was asking, can I go to foreign country for studying? I was saying, okay, all the best. A place which is full of Maya, go ahead. But it's the fact that Maya can gulp us anytime. So with this fear, we have to practice bhakti. And with this fear, we should pray to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna. See, every fear, every emotion is an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. We can dovetail that emotion towards Krishna. So if we are fearful, better we take shelter of Krishna. Like Draupadi took shelter of Krishna when she was in a great danger. And so much of fear was there. Gajendra took shelter of Krishna when he was in danger. Similar thing we have to do. And we have to be very conscious to follow Shastra that is given to us. See, Kali Yuga is a very, a very favored age, because we have been given the simple process to attain Krishna, chanting the holy names. But at the same time, there are lots of filthy things around that. So we have to be conscious and cautious and practice devotional service. And by doing that, when Krishna sees that, oh, this devotee is so eager to come to me, he will actually provide protection. He will give the right intelligence at the right time, and he'll pull us back home, back to God. That's what Krishna is saying. 10th chapter, 10th verse. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam jenamam upayantite. Anyone who is serving me, doing devotional service with love and devotion, or one who is executing loving devotional service all the time, Arjuna, I give intelligence to him by which he can come back to me. So Krishna will give us the right intelligence at the right time to escape from that situation where Maya is about to gulp us. So what is important? Intense devotional service at every moment. Most importantly, purifying our desire has to be done and is very much needed. Also absorbing ourselves in the service. Why we still find it easy to gossip, watch or cry for movies or eat out than do devotional service or pray? I regulated many activities, but how to improve further? See, it's a very simple thing. For so many years, we have been doing the same sensory gratification activity. From last 1 year to 2 years, we have been practicing devotional service. How can we expect that all that will go away? But still, we have to struggle and we have to just take it forward. We have to just think one thing. That, okay, I'm doing all these things, but these things will take me away from Krishna. Why can't we think about the happiness that we'll get by taking darshan, sakshat darshan of Krishna face to face? When a devotee progresses in the path of Krishna consciousness, you know what happens? The first thing is chanting. So when our chanting becomes perfect, we start getting darshan of the Lord. Now, mind you, at the neophyte stage, now we start imagining ourselves. No. I'm not talking about that. That we see some deity or we see some photo or whatever. Original form of Krishna will manifest in front of us. And after that, our chanting will be perfect. And now we are taking darshan of the Lord. Still our chanting is perfect. We are able to hear clearly. And after the form of the Lord, then we start seeing the Leela of the Lord. Just imagine that some Leela is happening there. Krishna is stealing butter. And then Krishna is like, Purnima, don't tell anyone. What I'm doing, don't tell anyone. Just imagine the bliss that will be there, in getting into such transcendental platform. We are stuck very badly. We are stuck in small things. This chutku, mutku, filthy movies, those are there. We watch and we cry. Arey, what is there here? If we see Krishna's pastimes live with divine eyes, that is called as something great. And then when we see all that and cry, then that's a different ecstasy only. It's like we have to hanker. We have to hanker like anything. Like, when small kids are told that if you come first, I'll give you cycle. Something like that. Or on your birthday, I'll give you this. And the child is hankering, oh, I'll get this. He starts dreaming also. Oh, it will come. It will be so nice and this and that. That's what we have to do. We have to keep thinking about, oh, such a great thing is awaiting me. I've already come to devotional service. Let me kick out all this nonsense that I'm doing. Let me take up devotional service more seriously. So aspiring for something higher, getting some higher taste, by that we will lose the lower taste. Initially, we have to force. There is no option. Initially, we have to force. Even if we like, we have to avoid. Even if we like, we have to avoid. There is no option. No option. It's very difficult. But still, that struggle is what impresses Krishna. So let's struggle. What is the problem? Let's be happy strugglers amongst the other strugglers who assemble in the session. Okay, next question. Today was one of those sessions which felt like a slap on the face. like asking us, what are you doing even after getting all this knowledge? Actually, I keep slapping myself to remind myself that what am I doing? You all are very humble. You all take those points for yourself. But very nice. That's good. I don't know much cooking. Cooking is very boring. You gave me a big shock today telling not to eat food cooked from maid, servant and hotel. Oh. It's a fact. What can be done? What can be done? See, understand one thing. It's interesting or it's boring. We have to do it. We have to think about something higher. Or we should be, you know, ready to get stuck again in this material world. So this maid servant business and all, okay, I don't want to give any concession here. So it will be one-to-one basis. If someone is really stuck with some problem, we can talk in person. But in general, this is what is a recommendation from the Shastra, that we should see that who is cooking and what are we eating. Very, very important. Very, very important. In fact, it is said that if you want to stop eating in restaurants, go and see in the kitchen what is happening. Just by seeing the hygiene which is there, we'll stop eating. And now when we grow in devotional service, we don't think about all that. We start thinking about what is the consciousness of the person. Because now we are very much interested. Because now we are very greedy that I want to think about Krishna all the time. And why am I not able to think about Krishna? Because my consciousness is dirty. It's already dirty. And on to that, we are dirtying it more by eating from people whose consciousness is dirty. So this greed, if it is there, that no, I want to progress in bhakti. I want to advance. I want to attain Krishna this lifetime. If this greed and this hankering is there, then it will manifest. So by the way, this Sunday, it's my turn to give Sunday feast class. And I'm planning to speak about developing intense hankering to attain Krishna. So if you are available, please attend 8:30 on Sunday. So yeah, so we need to develop that greed and hankering to attain Krishna. And if that is there, then yes, all these things which are there, even if it's boring, we'll do. Whatever it is, we'll do it. Yes. Because interesting things of this world will hold us back in the material world. The seemingly boring things of spiritual life will take us back to God. If we kill insects, animals without being aware and unintentionally, is it still a sin? It is a sin. But then if we are practicing devotional service, say we are chanting all the time and we step on an ant, so that will not be considered. That will not be considered. Like this, we commit so many sins every day. So that's why we keep telling intense devotional service. Every moment, you know, we should be immersed in Krishna consciousness. How to stick to only prasadam when one is traveling? So this is case by case. You can speak to your Bhakti Vriksha leader. So one is, if you're traveling by train or something, we have some contacts where, you know, some devotees have made a chain of various devotees who deliver, you know, prasadam at some stations. So whenever we go for yatra, say we're traveling from Bangalore to Vrindavan, 36 hours. So in between, at some stations, you know, we call for breakfast, lunch and dinner. So that's how the prasadam is delivered. Or we pack from home and we take, or we carry some fruits or whatever. And we plan our travel also in such a way that we know to which place we are going and how can I manage my prasadam. So all that planning has to be done. A serious devotee plans always. Now, where am I going? What will I be eating? If not, let me carry something from home or whatever. Yes, so all this has to be done. So when this is done, then automatically, when we are struggling, Krishna will be impressed. Krishna will be impressed. Right. So by the way, one of my students had gone with the family to a resort. I was so happy to see. She was cooking in her whatever star hotel room. And then she was honoring prasadam. Even when all the wonderful things were available there, so-called materially wonderful things were available for eating. So this is a sacrifice which we devotees do. And this sacrifice is something which Krishna relishes. This sacrifice is what Krishna tastes and he says, aha, yummy. Using cook at home is not acceptable, right? Yes, absolutely correct. If on Dwadashi we cannot pluck tulsi leaves, how to offer bhoga? Please pluck tulsi leaves on Ekadashi itself. That's what we do. And we keep it. or we purchase it from the market on the day of Dwadashi, if it is there. We can purchase from market because they had plugged it before itself and they've kept. So we can purchase from flower market and we can use. Please continue Bhagavatam classes. We need this kind of shake-up frequently because we need to be very careful about purity of our sadhana. Yeah. I left eating onion garlic while traveling. There will be no food for me in hotels. I'll eat only sweets. Okay. As you mentioned earlier that our position in the spiritual world is already determined, I think this is also depend on our intensity of devotion. We get to serve Krishna more closer in Goloka. Actually, in Goloka, Krishna is always close to us. Always. It doesn't matter. We are a grass. We are a tree. We are a gopa, a gopi, a bird, peacock, or whatever. In spiritual world, everyone gets close association of Krishna. So it doesn't matter what we are in spiritual world. It doesn't matter at all. Now what we are doing is very important. And to go to spiritual world, we have to practice intense devotional service. To the peak. It's not about, oh, this devotee is doing less intense, so he'll become grass. This devotee is doing more intense, so he'll become gopa. No. To go to spiritual world, we need to have intense devotional service. And then when we are intense, then our position is decided. So we'll get our position, whatever it is. And every position in Goloka Vrindavan is very, very glorious. Very glorious. To such an extent, Uddhava, the cousin of Krishna, he was aspiring and he was begging and praying that please make me grass in Vrindavan. This is what he was praying. Why? Because all the glorious devotees will step on me and I'll get the dust of the lotus feet on them. In this way, every single form in spiritual world is glorious because every single form in spiritual world is in direct touch with Krishna all the time. By now we know that Krishna consciousness is working on clearing our consciousness. What about subconscious level or dreams, which are still materialistic and out of our control? How much time does it take for that to change? So I hear from my spiritual master that intense devotional service, 6 months, everything will be wiped off. If not, then 8 years it will take. 8 years. Because scientifically also, our cells which are there in our body, it takes around 7 to 8 years to change. I'm just talking about the gross platform. So similarly, to wipe out of the samskaras or to make it very faded, if our bhakti is not very intense, if it is medium intense or something, then 8 years it will take. If it's very intense, then it is 6 months. 6 months is enough. I met one person, he asked me one question that as his wife is not supporting, so he involved in illicit activity, where is the wrong? How he overcomes the situation? Is the wife's mistake or what is the best solution? The person should be self-controlled. A male is expected to be self-controlled by practicing devotional service. A male is not expected to behave like a dog. So he's supposed to be sense-controlled completely. And to such an extent that with that self-controlled mood, one should practice devotional service. So one cannot blame. Once a person is married, according to Shastra, whatever it is, there shouldn't be any divorce. There shouldn't be any thought of any illicit connection with anyone. The better goes on to say that the person is not controlled, sense controlled. What else? What else can be said? So, and what is the difference between a dog and no such people? It's the same. It's the same. Dog is not sense controlled, but the man is also not sense controlled. So answer is, the man has to be sense controlled. There's no problem with the wife.